How are we today, mail handlers? This is That Guy, and this is That Show. Today, we're going to talk about Article 8 out of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union National Agreement. The reason I want to talk about Article 8 is because we are about to go into what is known as the holiday season. First and foremost, I want to say to you, holiday season does not change your contract. Because the mail volume increases, your contract is still the solid document that it's supposed to be. I know a lot of us hear from union officials, it's the holiday, it's the holiday. Well, that does not matter. The holiday, and when I say it doesn't matter, don't be fooled by the fact that because mail volume increases, that certain articles in your contract are relaxed. The main difference between this Christmas holiday and every other workday is on Christmas Day, you get time and a half for holiday pay. Now, somebody else want to point out some differences that changes your contract? I'm open to listen. One other thing that the holiday brings is an agreement or an understood agreement between your union that during this holiday season, a pre-designated period, they're going to be allowed to go over the cap of mail handlers. And when you hear the term over the cap, what I'm simply referring to is based on the number of regular career employees you have. For example, in Columbus, Ohio, based on that number, you are allowed to have 24.5% MHAs. When that 24.5% reaches 25%, the post office is now considered over the cap. And there's two ways that should be addressed. One, if it's not during that peak season or the two pre-designated accounting periods, then the post office must, in order to be in compliance, reduce that MHA number. If they go over the cap during the designated two accounting periods, then what happens is they are allowed to go over the cap, but not without ensuring that your overtime desire list is not deprived of overtime opportunities because the Postal Service is over the cap. To put that in layman's term, in terms that most people understand and can hold on to, is if you're over the cap, your overtime desire list should be allowed to be maxed out. And when I say maxed out, the overtime desire list should be allowed to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Now, I know that might sound like a lot to some, but there is a particular reason why mail handlers sign the overtime desire list. And if you're on that list, then you should be expected to be available for those hours that you volunteered for. Now, here's where a little bit of that let's maintain status quo. Let's operate in a manner that we've always operated in. But I'm here to tell you, I definitely do not subscribe to that school of thought. Because what should have happened, or what should happen in the next labor management meeting, is someone from your unions should be addressing the issues that we're not going to overwork the non-overtime desire list this holiday season because it is a holiday season. And as I have said on many podcasts, if we really understood our contract in our Constitution, we would begin to think that we have adequate rights that protect us in the work environment. And what I mean by that is if we talk about Article 8.4D, I'm going to read this to you. The parties to this agreement recognize that sustained and excessive levels of overtime, particularly where it is being worked by non-volunteers, are not ultimately beneficial to the Postal Service or the employees. The subject of sustained and excessive overtime where it is being worked by non-volunteers is a proper topic for discussion at local and regional area labor management meeting committees. Now, I'm willing to bet you that that conversation probably wasn't had, or if it was had, everybody just shook their head in agreement that it's the holiday. We're going to work the overtime list 7 days, non-list 6 days, 10 hours. That's not an agreement. There are countless postal employees who do not want to work those extra hours. And I think a lot more aggressiveness from our unions, they should address that and convince the Postal Service to relax that. Because see, what happens now is, and I'm going to get back to Article 8, what happens now is you force employees to report or turn in medical documentation that they can only work 40 hours. And for whatever reason, the Post Office just will not grasp the concept of there are a great number of your employees who do not want to work that overtime. And when you force people to work excessive hours that they do not want to work, you decrease their level of awareness, because part of that now is being spent on, I'm upset that I have to be here. And you put employees in a more accident-rich environment, if that makes sense. So I would hope that unions at the last labor management meeting had this conversation, or at the next one they have this conversation and protect the rights of the non-overtime list or the people who just don't want to work that overtime. As I'm sure you can plainly tell, this Article 8 podcast is not so much about working overtime, but this Article 8 podcast is being done to protect those employees who don't want to work that overtime. I'm going to skip right down to Article 8.5D, and it reads as follows. If the voluntary overtime desire list does not provide sufficient, available, and qualified people, the employer shall assign other employees to the extent possible. This is where that non-list employee or mail handler comes in. When assigning such employees, the employer shall first utilize qualified and available full-time employees in order of seniority who have volunteered to work the required overtime after their scheduled tour for that day only, or who have volunteered to work their non-scheduled days. Employees shall volunteer for overtime assignments after their scheduled tour for that day only by signing their names and indicating their seniority date within the first 2 hours of their scheduled tour of duty on a daily full-time list maintained in each work section on the work floor. Now, before I read the rest of that, again, my Article 8 podcast is done to protect the employees who don't want to work that overtime. So the Post Office is saying, and it is agreed upon, I'm sorry, this is in your national contract. Before you just start mandatory, is that a word, all non-list people to work 10 hours a day, there are some things that the Post Office should do that, at least in Columbus, I know they don't require them to do. That's not protecting your member. One of the things that you want to do, again, and I'm coming directly from our national agreement, is enforce or ensure management has that volunteer list in each work area every day. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, then the union should negotiate or insist that if that employee doesn't want to stay, then there's got to be some kind of leeway for him or her. Does that make sense? You see, if we're going to be strong as a union, we have to understand, again, that the weapons in our arsenal, and in this case, I'm speaking strictly about our national agreement, it is put in place and designed to protect all employees. And if we look at Article 8 just a little different during this holiday season, unions should be in a better position to assist or oblige, for lack of a better word, those employees who don't want to work that overtime And when I say assist or oblige, I mean ensure that they can leave without the threat of discipline. I'm going to finish reading Article 8.5D. Article 8.5D continues as follows. The daily full-time volunteer list shall be applied in a manner consistent with the application of the overtime desire list within the installation. Employees shall volunteer for overtime assignments on their non-scheduled days by signing their name and indicating their non-scheduled day and their seniority date on a full-time volunteer list that is posted in each work section at the beginning of the service week and must be signed by the Tuesday of the service week prior to that being volunteered for. Such full-time employee volunteers shall work the required overtime as directed by management. The employer shall have the discretion to limit these volunteer employees from working beyond 10 hours in a service day. There shall not be any penalty for error by the employee in applying either of these full-time volunteer lists. That whole section about the employer, and excuse me, I did say employee, but the employer, the Postal Service, not being held liable for any errors that were made, that might be a topic for another podcast. But it is a part of our national agreement, so respect it. I'm going to get back to that at another time. But again, understand, the national has negotiated in your contract that the union should discuss, or unions, it's possible for the unions to discuss this excessive overtime at labor management meetings. I hope they have, or I hope they will. It is also set up that before you just mandate everybody in the building to work, there are steps that management must take. One, you've got a daily overtime desire list, volunteer overtime desire list, and then you've got a weekly. If management won't perfect their craft enough to follow the guidelines that have been agreed upon at the national level, then unions should be in a position to tell their employees, if you can stay, stay. But if it's really not something that you can do, the union will protect you as you leave. Far too long have we as postal employees just accepted some nonsense because we didn't understand that we have a right to question if it can be done another way. We just accept it because the people who worked there before you accepted it, and it's just passed on. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's time we stop accepting and start demanding that which is contractually obligated to you via your national agreement. If I were to give you a summary of the last 13, 14 minutes, I would say to you that as dues-paying union members, in our contract, there are provisions that the unnecessary, excessive overtime being forced on employees to work during this holiday season, I'm simply saying there are provisions that should be addressed. I'm also saying the post office has got this mannerism about itself that they feel they don't have to follow the rules and regulations they agree to, but can force postal employees to do what it is they demand. Again, I'm not telling anybody to not follow their official instructions, however they want to phrase that. But what I'm saying is, if they're going to follow their instructions, there are provisions in the contract that we need to enforce. Have the overtime desire list, the volunteer list, have it in every pay location, because you will probably get enough volunteers that you don't have to force everyone to stay. But here's the problem with that. That's going to require some administrative logistics and coordination. Someone is going to have to compile those lists every week to make sure that the people who want to stay are being offered the opportunity to stay. And that is where the problem lies, because you're not going to have supervisors that's going to be able or going to do that. So because the post office recognizes their supervisors are not going to be able to implement what they agreed upon at the national level, they just force you to work and say, never mind that list. Now, with all due respect, I understand there are some offices that use that list. I know when I worked as a mail handler in West Palm Beach, that list was very important, and those who wanted to stay made it their business to sign that list on a regular basis. So, hey, listen, holiday season is here. Do not allow yourself to be blown away because it's holiday season. If you run a decent operation with 50,000 pieces of mail, you will run the same decent operation with 5 million pieces of mail. Does that make sense? If you run a decent operation. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge, and you've been listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.